I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show.
Hi there, and welcome to Amazing FBA. Today, as part of the private label process launch week, which is this week, we're doing pre-orders this week, by the way, so that means £100 off or $130 off if you buy it this week. Pre-order, by the way, means you get access next week or the week after, more or less next week, by the looks of it. We're building very, very fast now. But you'll get immediate access to the beta course. But anyway, that's what's on offer. If you want to check that out, go to amazingfba.com/PLP. P for private, L for label, P for process, P for Peter, L for Lima, P for Peter, if you prefer. amazingfba.com/PLP. So with that out of the way, let me get into today's meat of the show. So we are talking about the process of niche source and launch, which is to say niche research or product research, as it's commonly known. And I think that's a big error in that name implies a great deal, actually, product research. And if you haven't listened to me talk about that previously, I'm going to release another episode about that this week at some point, or for next week, I think now. The second part of that is the sourcing. We've just talked about that. And the third part is the launch. So the launch is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to do a quick recap first, because it's absolutely critical to get the product research or the niche research right and the sourcing right to get a good launch. So quick recap of what we've done. First of all, we came up with imaginative ideas for how to come up with a product and an idea. And if you don't remember that, revisit that. We're just building some new resources for you. So there should be a PDF downloadable guide any day now at amazingfba.com/niche, N-I-C-H-E. If it's not there yet, you can sign up on the email list for that. And as soon as we hear about that, since it's built, sorry, we'll let you know. The second part then was that we, you know, and as part of that, by the way, critical, find a differentiated product idea. You know, what do people actually care about? The second part was sourcing. And we looked at all possible suppliers, eliminated them by various criteria, which, again, I'm not going to rehash that. If you want to hear about that on the episodes in the podcast, it's episodes 289 and 290. So just go to amazingfba.com/289 or /290 to hear about that. But the most important thing is that we get samples so that we check the quality of the product's good and have a good negotiation so that the price and features and number of units and stuff all stacks up with what we can actually sell in the marketplace. And then as part of ordering process, we do good quality control. And then we are up, you know, when it gets manufactured, that's about the time before the product is received that we need to plan the launch. So if that's where you're at, congratulations. Most people never make it there. Most people never pull the trigger, as they put it. So if you actually made it, even if you just ordered a few hundred dollars worth of products, congratulations. And by the way, I think that's a smart start. I do not think you should go straight in with a massive order if you've never sold anything online before, let alone sold physical products. Even if you have sold digital products online, that's a different game. It has its problems. Just to put that one to rest, there's sometimes an assumption amongst the Amazon selling community that it's easier to sell digital products or run a podcast or something, which is why people like myself do it. I promise you, it's not easier. It takes about the same amount of time, it turns out, to create a digital product like a course as it did to order my first private label product, about 6 months of pretty hard work. So, you know, it's not any easier. Building a business is going to take sweat and work. So we need to get over that one straight away. The idea that everything's going to be easy and walk in the park. No, that's just not reality. And I don't expect you think it is, because you're a realist enough to be still following me in this podcast. We try and keep it real. So just a reality check on that. So it's taken you a while to get here. You pulled the trigger on an order. Fantastic. You're waiting to hear about it. So the next thing then is to prepare in advance your launch. It's nearly time to take off. So while you, rather than wait until it's upon you and then suddenly panic, now is the time to make a plan. So first we've got to do is we can split the launch process down neatly and easily into two parts. One is the listing, and the other one is traffic. So in this episode, we're going to talk about the listing itself. And if you want help, we have got already a downloadable PDF, a downloadable little guide on creating or optimizing your product listing. Worth getting, even if you have a product listing live already, just to double check whether you could improve on it. A lot of the information there is based on the work of Dana Derricks, who famously got paid, I think last time he did it for a client was $10,000 to optimize a client's listing, and got some amazing increases in people's turnover as a result. So if you want to check that out, amazingfba.com/list, L-I-S-T, S for sugar, of course, L-I-S for sugar T. So that's a lot of free resources for you there. So let's talk about the product listing. So it falls into, I think, five parts. The first is keyword research. Part two is benefits. Part three is writing the listing, putting it together. And notice I've separated those out. A lot of people don't. Part four is images, and part five is details. Okay, so let's get into that. First things, keyword research. Now, the good thing about doing a fantastic job in the first place with niche research or market research or product research, whatever you call it, which is a phase before you source stuff, now in the launch phase, or the pre-launch phase, I guess, guess what? That work pays off in dividends because you've done a lot of keyword research already in order to pick what kind of market you want to go to in the first place. So this should be a refinement of your knowledge. You certainly want to make sure you get up to date, because maybe your keyword research ended up being 2 or 3 months ago now, or more possibly if you've been negotiating with a supplier for a long time. So you've got to make sure that it's up to work. That means you've got to be very, very careful to double check the market hasn't changed against you or something. If it has, you're going to have to niche down. So example, if you thought that copper bracelets were a great market and you discover that's now rather changed since you placed your order, the market data, the shape of the market, supply and demand has changed since your original research, and you've only just realized that since you placed the order. Okay, bit of a problem, but the solution is to niche down. So in other words, copper bracelet becomes a copper bracelet for men, or copper bracelet for arthritis becomes copper bracelet for arthritis for women, or whatever it is, for example. So go and do some solid keyword research. I'm not going to rehash the basics of that in detail, because we cover that in our market research episodes, but the basics are supply and demand. You want a gap between the two. So if there's no demand for a product, you don't want to be going into that niche. That's too small. If there's, £2,000 a month being made a month in the UK, that's just too small, unless you can totally dominate that. Even then, you're going to struggle to make the economics work. So what else? After that, the competition. If you've got somebody who dominates your market, so there's $100,000 being made per month in your marketplace under a particular keyword, and 50% of that is taken by one particular brand, that's not a good place to go to, right? The other thing is, they've got thousands of reviews and other such things. So yeah, we're not going to rehash that in great detail, but just make sure that the market you go into is worth winning, i.e. demand's high, and winnable, i.e. That the competition is manageable as well. So that's the keyword research. We could go into reams of detail, but I'm going to keep it simple in this one, and then probably break it out into individual episodes on that if they're needed and wanted by people. So the second part then of the listing is benefits. What does that mean? It means reasons why people buy. It's the result that your product does for people. For example, people don't really want to take medicine. They want the result that the medicine gives them, the relief of the pain. So, saying that your product has 10 milligrams of benzodrine or whatever, some kind of drug. I've just made that up, by the way. Don't create this. I have no idea what that means. But if it says it gets rid of my headache guaranteed, then that's a result that I want. Okay, so bear in mind how critical it is to get the benefits very, very clear. Again, going back to your product research, hopefully you've sourced a product that does something somewhat differently to everything else out there. If it doesn't, your launch is going to be harder work. That's just a fact. You need to do great quality product research. But if your research indicated that people wanted a copper bracelet for women that deals with arthritis and has magnets in, but it's really pretty and everything else on the market was very chunky and ugly, guess what? Your differentiation point and your benefit is it makes you look good, it's pretty, it looks gorgeous. Not this has 6 magnets with a combined field strength of 4.5 units somebody's never heard of. You get the idea. So social media research, looking at your competition, looking at reviews can be very, very important for this. And preferably you did this in the beginning with your product research again, or your niche research, your market research. If you did that, then this is going to be easy. If not, you're going to have to sweat a bit more right now, but that's okay. As long as it gets done at some point, it's important. So the keyword research and the benefits lead you into then, first of all, writing the listing. Now, before we get writing, I want to point out that I've separated the keywords and the benefits. What you really want to do is have a list of keywords that are in order of priority, i.e. how important are they in terms of it's winnable and it's worth having, right? So copper bracelet for women might be a decent sized market, but quite competitive. So you're going to work hard to win that. That you may choose that as your most valuable keyword, in which case you have a list of maybe five keywords that you think are the really killer keywords and maybe 15 to 20 more that are longer tail keywords, i.e. that will be relevant and will convert well, but a smaller market. Typically, they're just longer. For example, copper bracelet for arthritis women. That's quite long, whereas copper bracelet is short and less winnable. So you get the idea. So basically, in order to create your listing, you want to have a list of keywords and you want to have a list of benefits. You want to combine them into elegantly written English if possible, but nevertheless, it's more important to keyword stuff in some ways than to write beautiful English. Let's have a word about keyword stuffing. What does that mean? Keyword stuffing that is bad is to put in every single related keyword to anything vaguely to do with your product. For example, bracelet for men, right? If you writing bracelet for women and you're only targeting people who want copper bracelets, every time your listing appears, if it does ever, in search rankings for plastic bracelets, then people who want a plastic bracelet will be annoyed when they see your copper bracelet. They won't click on your listing. Amazon will therefore punish you for that. So don't stuff your listing full of random keywords. Make sure they're only relevant keywords 100%. And that is okay. You need a certain keyword density though. So the word is not keyword stuffing, but keyword density. You need plenty of them, four or five, six keywords per bullet point, and at least a couple of juicy keywords in your title. And we want to integrate that with the benefits. The other thing I would say is this, that is one of those neglected arts on Amazon to have characterful, interesting copy. Interesting is an interesting word. Interesting to whom? Interesting, the answer is to your target market. So you need to be very, very clear who you're targeting. And by the way, target isn't the same as what you hit. So you may feel that your arthritis bracelet is for older women and discover that younger men are using it, in which case you'll have to change your listing. But when you first start out, you need a clear avatar, you need to have a clear customer that you're aiming at. And if it's older people, you probably want to be slightly more formal in your language, for example. And if it's young people, then you want to be hip and edgy and trendy, you're going to use that kind of language. So the kind of language you use, it sounds a bit abstract, sounds like it wouldn't make any difference. Not true. For example, we had one member of the 10K Collective who, being the action taker that he is, heard about split testing Amazon listings in one meeting and went away straight away and got his copywriter to rewrite the bullets on one of his products. And just rewriting the bullet points, bear in mind, not the title, which is more visible, changed the conversion rate from 30% to 38%. So all things being equal, that gave him a third more money and way more profit for the same money. So the tone of voice you use and the way you use the words is really important. Obviously, it's quite an advanced thing, but you don't want to get caught up in the weeds with this. But again, it comes down to great product research and being very, very clear who your target customer is and then writing in language that appeals to that person. If you're not really an expert in copywriting for Amazon, you may want to consider hiring somebody for that. We do a limited amount of that at Amazing FBA. If you want to do that, just get in touch. Just email michael@amazingfba.com. We have limited capacity because it's intensive work and we're not cheap. We're about average market price for that. Is a decently written Amazon listing is probably going to cost you a few $100. And if you're serious and you're into a decent sized market, you should get a return on that pretty easily. Either which way, whether you write it yourself or somebody else writes it, you're going to need to go through a meticulous process. Let's talk about the images now. The images are actually very, very important, as you'd expect on Amazon. Here's a thought for you. Two thoughts. Number one, the product is not what people buy on Amazon. Nobody buys a product on Amazon. Let's let that sink in for a sec. What people buy is an offer of a product, and that is expressed in the form of a listing, right? So that's the first thing. Second thought is from Sean Twing, who I recently heard on a podcast thanks to Andre Chaperon. So there's a couple of names to look in the show notes for. By the way, show notes will be at amazingfba.com/291 should you wish to see those. They're going to be pretty brief, but we'll put a link in to our extensive PDF that we'll be creating about launching and listing. So we've all got that for you there. So Sean Twing said this. He said, the offer is the expression of the product. The offer is the expression of the product, meaning you could have a wonderful widget, but if the photography of it is rubbish, you photographed it in a boring way just on a white background. And sure, yes, you've got to do that for the main image in most Amazon categories. But if that's all you've got, it's boring. And if your words are terrible and you don't really mention benefits, then guess what? Your expression of the product is poor. So what we need to do is express the product in the offer very, very well. And the offer is the listing, basically, on Amazon. So the photographs are pretty much the only thing that people buy. Apart from that, and the words may be 20%, which also influence the conversion rate more than you might think. So what is this all leading up to? What I'm saying is get a fantastic photographer if you're private labeling. If you're doing a generic launch, you can possibly do some shots on your iPhone. That's okay. If you're doing a test launch, don't spend too much money. But once you know that you're going to commit to a product to the order of several thousand dollars, you really, really want to commit, I would say, several hundred dollars or £700 to amazing photography. So what that means is, first of all, you need to be, again, very clear who your customer avatar is and try and appeal to that person by having, for example, just simply the photos of any models you use. And you can get people to Photoshop product shots onto a model, or the other way around. You can Photoshop a picture of a product into a picture with a model using it. But I had a client the other day who had a product, a medical sort of product, and they had photographs of people using it. It had an older man, older lady, and a younger woman. And what I said to him is, you really just got to make a decision based on, he's actually been out in the market for a while now, and look at your feedback. And I mean, feedback in the broader sense of messages, reviews, seller feedback as well, any emails he's had, anything at all, actually. And then just figure out, you know, who the majority of your buyers are, at least where the focus is, and decide on your demographic and, you know, age and sex. Let's keep it very simple here. And then just have that photo as your main photo, because his competition also had main photos with models in. So in certain categories, it's allowed to not just have the product on a white background. But the point being, the photographs need to reflect who your market is. And of course, then infographics, so photos with like neat graphics and writing on, need to very, very clearly articulate the value that you bring to the market. So in other words, the benefit, what does your product do? Why should you wear a copper bracelet? Don't forget, as Dana Derrick says, that the biggest enemy to your selling something isn't necessarily competition. It's the prospect doing nothing, the shopper, you know, the customer doing nothing. So if that's the case, you've got to explain to them why they should buy a copper bracelet for arthritis, why yours is better than everyone else's. Those are the two main things. So those photos should articulate that very clearly. I think in simple terms, you need one, two, or three, or maybe four photos with it on a white background or a neutral background, showing it from different angles. So imagine that the person picks it up and flips it around in the store very intuitively. And then you got to have photos showing it in context. So people wear it at a party, show somebody at a party. If they wear it when they're going for a walk, show somebody walking. If they wear it when they're at the gym, show them at the gym, etc. Right? That will cost you money because you've got to get a model, or at least you've got to get somebody skilled enough to Photoshop it in believably. So that's money incredibly well spent. The boring just nine shots on a white background, I used to do that. It used to be good enough. I don't think it is now. And a lot of people still do that. The Chinese factories will just churn those out all day long. Reasonably decent, but boring photos on a white background that are Amazon compliant, but not any character. Be better than that. You know, spend a couple of $100 more and get amazing photos. I can't stress enough, really, how important great photos are. Again, that is something we can offer in-house, in that my business partner, Rob Sleeth, also is a very, very good Amazon product photographer. He's a busy guy, so he doesn't do a lot of it these days, but he will if his arm is twisted. Again, just email michael@amazingfba.com and I'll pass on your request to Rob if he's got the bandwidth to cope with it. And he'll be honest as well. He's a straight up guy. If he's too busy, he'll tell you, but really knows it well. And whoever you pick, make sure they're really, really, really good at what they do. Then finally, the last bit of the listing is just the details. Less critical, but you want to get those things right. The weight, the dimensions, some fussy buyers will worry about that. And it's not so much that it's going to cause you a lot of sales. It just might help if you get any refunds or claims that the product isn't as described, that you're accurate about that. And the technical information as well. And then you just upload your words and your photographs to the listing. By the way, a small hint, do not create your text on the listing. What I mean by that is in English, sorry, don't go into Seller Central, open up, add a product, and then create a back-end listing, and then start writing it there. Because if you lose that, you've lost a lot of valuable work. You need to create your, you need to respect the value of what you're doing, and you need to create all the words you need for your listing on a separate document. I use Scrivener, which is a professional writing program, for various reasons, that is just basically easier to have multiple documents open at once in an organized way, so I can look at benefits and features and then pull them together into well-written bullet points. But whatever it is, just a Word document, whatever it is, just keep it separately. Small hint there. The other thing to say about photographs, tiny thing about that actually, make sure that the photograph doesn't look better than the product or different. Because if a photograph looks amazing and the product looks shabby, there's going to be a big mismatch, and that can be a huge, huge deal. First of all, the consumer's going to be very angry because they'll feel fooled. And that's a terrible way to create a reputation or a rapport with a consumer. And the second thing is you're handing them a knife to stab you with, because, I mean, that sounds a bit dramatic, but really you are asking them to get hold of Amazon and say product not as described. And they may actually have a point. And if they do, if it's actually accurate, then you're asking to have that listing suspended, and thus you won't be able to sell any of the stock, and you might even get your entire account suspended if you have too many complaints like that. And you can see why, because if you are fooling the public in Amazon's eyes, they shouldn't really let you on the platform because you're not a responsible seller. So just be very, very careful not to fall into that by accident. I mean, I have, for example, I sold a product. I had a professionally photographed product, and then I got a blue variation, and I couldn't be bothered to get it professionally photographed, so I did it myself, and they looked quite good actually, but the color blue that came out in the photograph was really quite different from the product. And I kind of hadn't clocked that until a couple of people got in touch and basically said that the color was different. So it's quite easy to fall into things like that with color. So you need a competent photographer who can make things look good on the web and look accurate. And that's really critical as well. So it's not just about looking good, it's about accuracy as well. So there's quite a lot that goes into a listing. As I said, we can offer stuff here at Amazing FBA, or, you know, lots of other people do stuff. You can do things in-house. I would urge you not to be too amateurish. If, you know, it's like anything else. So you may be pretty decent photographer, and you may be okay with writing, but if you're not an absolute expert, it probably pays to invest in professional photography, and it may pay to invest in professional copywriting as well. It depends on how much that's going to cost you versus the money you're spending on your listing and how much you stand to gain from it. But try not to think short term. If you invest £400 as opposed to £200 or whatever in dollars, say $300 to $500 in photography now, yeah, sure, it might cost you more for this first order, may not make a profit because of that sort of thing. But if you look across the year, cost of a photography spread over, say, 2 years of good sales, or a year and a half, or however long you think your product's going to be selling for profitably, that could really return itself many, many, many tens of times, actually. So if in doubt, I think just spend on a really great photographer. It is the number one rule of thumb that I will give you for a listing. The other thing that's worth doing is running your listing past a coach. I'm actually now offering a pre-launch service, which is amazingfba.com. Let me just check this URL, actually. 1 second. So it's amazingfba.com/RARE, rare. RARE, rare launch plan creation. What we do is review, analyze, refine, and execute. So we go back over all your data, we analyze it properly, refine your launch plan, and then send you away with a plan ready to execute. So again, depending on your budget, it depends on whether it's worth spending some money on that. I mean, that's £147 for a 90-minute session, which is around, whatever, $198, something like that. But we're actually, for the next few people, we're going to make it £97, or about $130, $125 or something. So if you want to check that out, go to amazingfba.com/rare, R-A-R-E. So that's something we can offer you. Again, you don't have to take up any of these offers for paid services. You can do everything yourself, but I mean, just make sure you're clear about what you're doing and have a clear, clear plan. Otherwise, you'll be scrabbling around, and all that time and effort you put into product research and all that money, and again, lots of effort and time into the sourcing side, could be wasted if you have a damp squib launch. Because Amazon is one of those things, it's a positive feedback loop. And I don't mean the word positive in a sort of happy clappy way, I mean in engineering sense. So what happens is the input becomes the output, becomes the input. So let's put that in simple terms. If you succeed, you can succeed more. And if you fail, you fail more. And it's basically not going to be neutral. So if you have a poor launch, Amazon will say, okay, this product doesn't convert very well for these keywords. We're going to stop ranking it for those keywords because you don't get ranked. In other words, shown up in the search results, your listing doesn't show up. For example, for copper bracelet for men, it's on page 20 or something. Nobody sees it. Therefore, nobody clicks on it. Therefore, nobody clicks or buys. And the algorithm rewards people clicking on your listing because it shows they think your search results relevant to their search. And they obviously reward you buying because it makes Amazon money. Plus, it means it's relevant to consumers. So that's a win-win. The trouble is if nobody sees your listing, nobody clicks on it, and therefore nobody buys. So that Amazon goes, oh, well, this isn't worth showing, and shoves it to page 25. And, you know, you can turn that around to a degree with good advertising, but Amazon builds a history of your listing and judges you based on the history. So it's absolutely critical from day one to do a really, really great job with launch. So this is not something you can leave until you suck it and see, and this, if it's not going very well, do a little bit more. You need to have a plan up front, and it needs to be a plan to go quite aggressively and specifically rank for specific keywords. And we'll talk about the traffic in the next episode, but basically you need to have a plan, and it needs to be a good plan. Otherwise, you're going to let all those thousands of dollars that you've invested in your private label sourcing, or even if it's just hundreds, you can do a less aggressive launch. But even then, it's wasted if you don't have a fantastic plan for the launch. So whatever else you do, whether you get help or DIY, get it right, and you know, get a plan in place, and then you will have a much, much better chance of success than if you just drift into it. It always amazes and alarms me in equal measure when people come to me for coaching, just how they leave it to chance and is not necessary. Hopefully today has given you a nice, strong overview of how to do it in terms of the listing. As I say, if you want some more help with the listing, amazingfba.com/list, L-I-S-T, L-I-S for sugar tea, I should say, is a listing optimization checklist and guide. So that should really, really help you. Thanks very much for listening and watching, and I'll see you all or speak to you in the next show.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few. Then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.